Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back, Dog Pound. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, and it's time for the Roundtable, brought to you by Blue Point Grill, the best seafood steaks in town. You can get there downtown on the corner of West 6th and St. Clair. Their website, Blue Point Grill, grillwithane.com for reservations. It's a Silver Spoons Award winner for best seafood restaurant every year since opening, and that's a reputation earned by serving the absolute freshest and highest quality seafood. Huge king crab legs, succulent lobster tails, fresh scallops, ahi tuna flown in daily, and they have oysters from both coasts. Over 75,000 fresh oysters are shucked per year, and it's not just seafood. They've got great prime steaks as well. People watching, the view, a great wine list, great cocktails, all you want. It's a VIP experience for everyone, carried by their attentive service at Blue Point Grill. It's time for the Roundtable, brought to you by Blue Point Grills. We do every single Monday. Joining Matt and I right now are Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, and Kevin Jones, staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com. And gentlemen, we'll open it up with you, Jim. How was your bye week? What did you watch this Sunday, if anything, in the National Football League? And what really caught your eye, even though the Browns weren't on the field?
Well, it's good to be with you guys. I was in front of the television set and was amazed at how the Steelers could not finish off the game against Tampa Bay yesterday and ended up really taking a critical loss. And it reminded me of kind of what we weren't able to do against the Ravens, get that first down that would put the game away. And even going back to the first week, it reminded me that if we had just gotten a first down and held on to the football down in Pittsburgh, we wouldn't have given it back to the Steelers. So it's amazing how really, you know, league-wide, these games are really so close many, many times. And it's not just us. It's everybody. And even a team like the Steelers, who through the years have been so dominant at home, they really gave a game away yesterday.
To me, it was the Baltimore Ravens. We're 3 weeks past the Ray Rice scenario, shenanigan, whatever you want to call it, and this team has won three in a row, and they're doing it in convincing fashion. Okay, against us, they kind of were handed the win, but to score 30-plus points against a Panthers team who has a very strong defense, Flacco really seems like he's – Steve Smith was the missing thing. That's what Mike Pettine said. Baltimore, their season could have been spiraling out of control. Instead, they grabbed it by the horns. They look like one of the best teams in the AFC.
And it's a shame, because had the Browns won that game, they'd be 2-1 sitting alone in second place in the AFC North. What a difference one play or one little detail can make for this Cleveland Browns team. But as they come off their bye, they get the Tennessee Titans this week. The Titans have lost three in a row, been outscored 100-34 in those three games. And gentlemen, I'll pose this question, and I believe that this is a must-win, but is this a must-win for the Browns to be the kind of team they want to be in 2014?
Yes, the Titans are the worst team in the league. The Raiders probably are, but who scares you on the Titans roster? What, they can't run the football. They don't have a weapon to throw to. They don't have a quarterback that they can trust to throw the ball to. It's one of those trap situations where the Browns are going to go in favored and should win, and they need to prove and shed the mantra that Joe Hayden and everyone's been saying, we're not the same old Browns. Then you go in here and not only squeak a win out, you beat the Titans by two touchdowns and say, look at our schedule upcoming, and we have – momentum now. I think, Nathan, I'm with you. This is a must win.
Jim?
You know, I'm with you guys. I really believe that you go into this game, and I don't think you want to go in here, and I don't think it should be dramatic. I mean, I don't think we should be at the end of the ball game, you know, coming down the wire and having to put together a last drive to try and pull the game out or one last stop. I mean, I think that the Browns are a better football team across the board than this team. So it isn't the Titans that worry me, it's the Browns who worry me.
Yep.
Are they ready to accept this role of just being a better team and just going on and playing well and playing up to your capability and just win the game? That's all they need to do, just win the game, which has been a big thing for them through the years.
That's so true. That's so true. And guys, we talked about it last week, obviously with a week off. But you know, what are those glaring differences or glaring things that you'd like to see fixed that you think are going to bode well on the road against the Tennessee Titans?
I mean, who's going to start them for quarterback? If Locker starts, I might be happy with that. I watched film on him the last couple of weeks. He's not comfortable in the pocket. He's one of the quarterbacks who kind of look to make plays with his feet. The secondary, if they're going to get right against any team in the league, you kind of pick out the Tennessee Titans.
Yes.
Kendall Wright is, you know, he's a good player. Delanie Walker is a tight end that can make plays down the field. But, man, other than that, they really have been struggling to move the ball on offense. So, to me, I look at the secondary to bounce back this week, limit them to under 220 yards passing. I think that'll be the key to victory.
Yeah, I think, the other thing is that, the whole thing going into this bye week was to fix the defense, to fix things, to streamline it in the communication aspect, get those calls in, handle it a better way than it's been handled in the first three games, eliminate the chaos on the sidelines, and to just, be better. And if it's just as simple as guys trying to do too much, and that's what a lot of these guys have been saying about the Browns defense, that if I just do my job, then we'll be okay. But I've been trying to do somebody else's job and my job, and we've been out of position. If it's that simple, then I hope it's fixed. So I think that if it is fixed, I think they win the game. I really do. The other fascinating thing is, to me, is if Ben Tate is able to go this week, what are they going to do here? I mean, we've gone years without any running backs, and now we've got three.
That's right.
It's right. You're exactly right. We've got three now, and it's something that Matt and I discussed at length last week, and we kind of came up and said, let's say there are 32 carries in a game. How would you split it up? And I know how Matt and I did it, but now that we have you guys here, let's do it. And I'll lead off with mine. So if we had 32 carries, I believe I ultimately ended up at about 16 to 18 for Ben Tate, who I believe will be the featured back. Isaiah Crowell would pick up basically the other 10 to 12, and Terrence West would maybe get a couple. I really think that's the way that it's going to go. You need people to be able to get into rhythm. So I'm fine with two guys sharing the work, and whether it's Tate and Crowell sharing it more evenly than what I laid out, that's fine with me. But I ultimately believe it's got to be two, not three, because they're all similar. So I think Tate gets, 60% of the carries, plays on third downs. The rest is Crowell. And I think Terrence West has been moved into a more of a third down role. Kevin, how about you?
I would put Ben Tate at the third down running back. I would ease him in after a knee sprain. To me, I don't want to throw him right into the fire. I don't want to risk another injury with this guy. His first week back on the road, let's put him as the third down running back. And then I agree with you. I think it's Crowell. Let's let this guy really get 20 carries to see what he's about. He has not had that kind of workload yet. And Terrence West, find a creative way. Let's line him up in the slot as a receiver. Let's throw him the football. He's too good of an athlete to keep on the bench. Get creative with him. Line him up at H-back if you have to. Really kind of keep Terrence West involved. But I agree with you, Nathan. Get the football to Crowell. And I see Ben Tate more in the third down back. Coming back, if it was up to me. Matt, what do you think?
No, I agree, and I think when I was a little bit more equal opportunity when we when I divvied out these carries, and I thought but again I split them between Crowell and Tate. Part of the reason why is, again, I agreed with you in the fact that third down is where he's going to see a significant portion of his plays. Not so much carries, though, because we'd love to have his, obviously be in third and three and less and maybe get him a carry, but that ball is going to be in the air, so he's going to get those reps. But I think I was 15, 12, and five or six to Terrence West, just because you can't just have him fall off the map. Because again, we do have that luxury to have fresh legs in our backfield.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys. Here's the one thing I worry about. I want to go back to the preseason game in Washington when we were going through the whole quarterback thing, and Hoyer played, then Manziel came in. Then Hoyer went back in, then Manziel went back in, and then neither one of them, and then, we were all in just absolute, just peril, because neither one of them got any kind of rhythm, and they both played so poorly that it looked like we didn't have any quarterback.
Right.
And we had a major decision coming. So I'm all about, let's feed the hot hand. So I would give Ben Tate the first crack. And incidentally, is this guy not got the worst timing in the world in his entire career? I mean, it's happened to him at Auburn, and it happened to him in Houston.
Yep.
I mean, the guy goes down, and then somebody comes on and just really eclipses whatever, his potential is. When Arian Foster did it, and now these two kids have really opened up a lot of eyes. So I'm going to go back to him, because I think he might have a little bit of a problem with his attitude if he doesn't get a fair crack here, and I think that could be a problem. Now, if it's a problem, it has to be solved. So I would let him be first up. If he gets into a rhythm, I think the other two, sit and wait a little bit, and whatever is left, I give it to them. But I'm going to go back to him. I'm going to be like one of those old coaches that say you shouldn't lose your starting spot because you got hurt. So I'm going to lean that way.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think Tate will get the start this week against Tennessee. Wilbur Montgomery basically said as much to me at the end of last week, and there's a video on that you can check out at clevelandbrowns.com. The Browns take on a Titans team who has Ray Horton as their defensive coordinator. Horton, of course, had a very short and very uninspiring and unceremonious tenure with the Browns last season. They're giving up 27.5 points per game so far this year. We all know the holes in this defense. We saw it last year. I think this is the game that Jordan Cameron finally gets back into the fold for the Browns against Horton, whose defense last year couldn't cover tight ends and is struggling to do so again this year in Tennessee.
Yeah, you know, I tell you what, I hope so, because I think Cameron, I mean, you know, we just envisioned him having a big year. And I don't know, Matt, if you had a shoulder injury at some point during your career, but, you know, you hear more and more in these weeks that Jordan's been kind of quiet, or if playing at all, when they say that you get one of those AC joint injuries up in that shoulder, and it, like, lingers the whole year. So
you
I
could
worry
tell
about
he wasn't blocking with two hands. I mean, if you watch the back, he was a one-armed blocker out there. No question.
I worry about that a little bit. I just want to touch on Ray Horton for a second. I really thought, Nathan, that Ray Horton all of last year was auditioning to become a head coach. You know, and it just didn't work. And I think he needed to be a defensive coordinator more than a candidate to become a head coach. Because remember, he had gotten interviews with the Browns and certainly out in Arizona, and he didn't get the jobs out there. So he settled for the defensive coordinator job. And I always thought that, even listening to him during press conferences, he was I always felt that his mind was geared towards, all right, which team is going to give me the nod here in the NFL to become a head coach? And I think he might have lost sight a little bit of the mission that was in front of him.
I mean, coming from outside of Cleveland and not covering Ray Horton last year, it sounds like he won press conferences but couldn't win games. Everyone
right.
loved his personality. Everyone, you know, raved about who he was. But when it came down to it, the Browns couldn't cover in the middle of the field, and that's what really hurt this team last season.
I agree completely. And I think for us offensively, looking at you know, the benefit of having, you know, Ray Horton spend time here is we're going to see a scheme that's something very similar to what he ran here. But every, you know, even though he's going to take that same scheme to Tennessee, you always have, now we're going to have to dive in and study those players, because every scheme is changed schematically a little bit differently and, you know, bodes more towards the players in that scheme. So that, again, bodes extremely well for us, because that means we know this scheme. Now we need it. We've had 13 days to look into the players and how they play in Ray Horton's scheme and the differentiation between what they did here and what he's doing now.
Matt, as a former NFL.
Ray was always, I mean, painstakingly, you know, guided by statistics. I mean, his press conferences were all numbers, tendencies, you know, what they do on third down, run versus pass, that kind of thing. So, I mean, if you really break down numbers, that kind of would give you a clue of how Ray calls a game, I think.
Matt, as a former NFL player, how much prep will the Browns defense give the offense on Ray Horton this week? What kind of conversations will go on?
Oh, I mean, I think that, you know, the scout team should be very a viable source for them to get a look, because they've lined up in very similar looks. And I think the cool thing about it is, you're not just going off a card. You can actually in your mind go, okay, this is what we used to do last year. So it's going to give a real, very realistic look to Brian Hoyer, but also too, Brian Hoyer, you know, practiced even as a backup last year against, you know, when they go ones versus twos or ones versus threes, or when he was a scout team quarterback, you know, for this group, seeing that offense, seeing those windows and zones, or seeing those exotic blitzes that we all expected last year that we never really got to see.
Who do the Titans have on defense? Anyone scary? I'm trying to even visualize the roster right now, and I can't.
No, the Titans
have
not.
They don't have Javon Curse anymore, do they?
No, they don't have Javon
Curse. My boy Sean Phillips from San Diego, he's a guy. He can rush the passer. And Wesley Woodard, who's a linebacker, who I believe is their leading tackle. I played against him early in his career when he was with the Denver Broncos.
Denver Broncos, right.
Their best player right now is Jarrell Casey on the D-line, who's got a couple of sacks already. He's been 10 stops. He's played very well. Woodard, you talked about. They've got some veterans in the defensive backfield. You know, Bernard Pollard, who can still play. Cody Sensabaugh. They've got Jason McCourty, who's a solid corner. But this isn't a defense that has been a playmaking defense, certainly has not been thus far. And I think this is a great matchup for the Browns, because you want the Browns' D to get healthy. They get a Titans team that really is struggling on offense, has no identity on offense. They don't have a consistent ground game. They don't have a consistent pass attack. They don't have a dominant outside receiver that you have to worry about. This is a game that the Browns need to win. And I believe if the Browns win this game, They will get some nice momentum for this five-game stretch that I think the Browns need to go if they want to go to the playoffs. They're going to make improvements this year. I'm not worried about that anymore. I believe it's a different team. But if the Browns want to go to the playoffs, what do you think their record needs to be over the next five games? And that'll be the final question here on today's roundtable brought to you by Blue Point Grill. Kevin, you start us off. Next five games.
I mean, 4-1, you look at the Titans, the Raiders, Buccaneers, and Jaguars.
And Steelers at home. Yep.
Steelers at home. The four teams I said first, they might be the four worst teams in the entire league. The Browns have got to shed the label. We're not the good, bad team anymore. We're a good team. And you just have to win these games. You really do. I think the biggest challenge will be at Jacksonville. I just feel like if you win two in a row here, if you beat the Titans and the Steelers, you might kind of sleep on that game. They need to just – they're going to say a cliche one game at a time, but 4-1, and then they're going to be having Josh Gordon come back. That's really sitting pretty in an AFC North that looks a lot harder than it did a month ago.
Jim?
I think 4-1. I think this game Sunday is just huge for them, though. I mean, it really is. It's winnable. It's right there in front of them. It's go play well and win the game. Then I think that they should have a really great feeling and really want to get another crack at the Steelers after, you know, what happened on opening Sunday. The other games are very, very winnable, too. But realistically, I would say that they go 4-1. And, but I think it's got to be this Sunday. I think it would be a real tragedy if they lose this game Sunday. And I think it could take the season and spin it another way if they lose that one.
I agree. And, Jim, you make such a great point because Nathan and I have been we talked about it last week. We talked about it in breaks today. I really think that this one is this springboard into those lesser opponents. And having played in the National Football League, just the momentum and the confidence that you start to play with, one turning into two turning into three, and so on and so on. And this five-game stretch, for me, is still – I think 5-0 is realistic. But again, understanding the Cleveland Browns and some hindrances they do have as a team, 4-1 is definitely viable for this team.
You have to think Brian Hoyer is going to come back down to earth at some point soon, though. I mean, and you know, the running game and other parts of the team are going to have to carry him, but
let's stay out there for a little while if we can.
I think the D's got to get better. The defense,
that's right, yeah.
Brian Hoyer has in many ways had to carry this team through three games, and the Browns are 1-2 because of where the defense has been. If the defense plays better, takes pressure off the offense, and they can control the game and run the football more, I really believe that the defense is going to make big strides, and that's who's going to have to carry this team through the five games. 3-2 to me is the worst case scenario for this team to maintain a viable season going forward. But I think 4-1 is the number. That's what the Browns have to strive for. But it starts with one game, the game against Tennessee that they must win. Jim, looking forward to being with you, obviously, on Sunday Strategy on Wednesday. And I'll see you before then, obviously, as you come out here for media availability tomorrow. Kevin, keep up the great work on ClevelandBrowns.com. Everybody check out his work there as the Browns prepare for the Tennessee Titans. That has been the Roundtable. Brought to you by Blue Point Grill, the best seafood in town. They've won the Silver Spoon Award every single year since they've been open down there, West 6th and St. Clair. Check them out at Blue Point Grill. Go to BluePointGrillWithAnE.com, and I'll tell you, best crab legs in this city are at Blue Point Grill. If you like crab legs, go down there and feel like a king. Thanks, fellas. We'll be back with more. Hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.